Have you not known? Have you not heard? God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even the young will fall exhausted, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They should run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One of the most vivid memories I have of early childhood was of a bedtime conversation I'd had with my mom. I was overtired. It had been a really bad day. I had been bullied at school. I wasn't feeling well. And I began to panic because of the exhaustion. I began to panic that I'd never feel rested again. And at the time, I was also extremely terrified of the afterlife. So I told my mom that I didn't want to live forever. I wanted to just die when my time was up, to rest. She tried to reassure me that I would be recharged in this life. I would not always be tired and sad. She also explained to me that the afterlife was nothing like what I was imagining it. She said, there I would never be tired. I'd be with God, and I would be filled with love and energy. Still, I was unconvinced, and I told her the afterlife just sounded too exhausting. The memory comes back to me often in my life when I go through periods where I'm really tired for a while. And I'm in a period like that right now. And I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone. How many here are tired right now? You know, people at work have been complaining about being tired. You know the standard, how are you, I'm fine? That's been replaced with, okay, yeah, I'm pretty tired. I've had friends recently ask me to pray for them because they're running on empty and they feel like they're running to stand still and they've got troubles at work or stress and the winter's long. Tiredness seems to be a condition of our time and our culture. There's an author and journalist called Krista Tippett who wrote, "This disease of being busy, and let's call it what it is, a dis-ease of being busy, when we're never at ease, is spiritually destructive to our health and well-being." But it's not just being busy that's wearying. It's all the news and sadness around us. It's the stories that are emerging out of the hashtag MeToo movement. It's environmental disasters, mudslides, flooding, and the wars and the refugee crises. It's the cold, and it's the homeless at our doorsteps, and it's the cold cases of missing Aboriginal women and children. And it's the pain we don't see. But if we allow ourselves just for a second to think about, we know is there and does weigh us down. It's people who are suffering in silence from mental distress. It's the lonely, either because they're alone or because they live in a system that doesn't permit them to be authentically really who they are. There's so many in need. The need is so great that the gospel even has Jesus being hunted down by the disciples during his quiet time of prayer, because there are so many people waiting for restoration. Sometimes it feels like as hard as we try, we fail because we're just doing too much. Those times are when we take it all upon ourselves. So we're reminded by Isaiah, we're reminded by the psalmist, and we're reminded by Jesus today that it's God who is in charge. It is God who builds up. It is God who binds our wounds. And God who gives strength. Have we not known this? Have we not heard this? Hasn't it been told us from the beginning? Well, the answer for me anyway is yes, it has. But I need to be reminded again and again and again. I need to be reminded to wait for things to unfold in God's time. That's the toughest one for me. I need to be reminded that God's in charge to hope and to pray. And I need to be reminded to rest and to rely on the whole community. This is the royal priesthood of all believers. We need to rely on each other. We're not alone. And there's another danger of overstretching ourselves. Sister Janet Ruffing from Yale Divinity School says, if we fill our days with busyness, we risk insulating ourselves from care and compassion. We risk getting wrapped up in doing, and this shields us from being affected by social, political, and ecological relationships around us. This is why it's good to be reminded to rest and to put our trust in God. And there's many kinds of tiredness, aren't there? There's tiredness from lack of sleep. There's tiredness from being sick. But there's also that wearying emotional tiredness. The texts this week all have an underlying theme that speaks to my early experience of exhaustion and to the exhaustion that I've been feeling over the past few weeks. More importantly, though, they all have a wonderful underlying message of hope and restoration. Isaiah reminds us that if we wait for the Lord, we will be restored. We will be mounted up on wings like an eagle. We will run, we will walk without getting weary. But those who do not wait for the Lord, he cautions, even though they may be young, will suffer exhaustion and faint. The psalmist also praises God for all God does to restore and renew, create and recreate, lifting up the marginalized and renewing the earth with grass, rain, and food for all God's creatures. And in the gospel, Jesus is renewed through prayer. So imagine the context of the gospel for a second. Jesus has been on a long journey. He's traveling. That morning, and the text we heard last week, Jesus heals a man of an unclean spirit in the synagogue in a very public sphere. And it takes up right from there, he goes over to Simon and Andrew's house. There he finds Simon's mother-in-law sick. He holds her hand. He heals her. We're in the private sphere here. And he restores her to full health. Then later that same evening, they bring him all kinds of people who are sick and filled with demons and whatever emotional traumas. And the whole city is gathered around the door. So I'm guessing it was a very busy night. And then the next morning, while it's still very dark, probably on very little sleep, Jesus recluses himself to somewhere deserted and prays. The previous day sounds untenably exhausting, and yet he wakes before sunrise to pray. And I don't expect he had much time to do so, because then we're told he's hunted down by the disciples. And they ask, where have you been? There's so many people in need. And his answer, let's move on to neighboring towns. Let's move on to neighboring cities to proclaim the message, cast out demons and heal the sick, because that is what I came out to do. God works in the public sphere, and God works in the private sphere of our hearts. But God is there for us, to renew corrupt systems, and to heal. Our role as disciples is to wait for things to unfold in God's time, to hope and to become beacons of hope, and to pray for strength and energy to act in Jesus' footsteps. Waiting, hoping, and praying are critical to making possible God's work in the world. They're critical to restoration, renewal, and carrying out our baptismal vows of service to God and the earth. Without rest, waiting, and prayer, we will grow weary, we will faint, we will succumb to exhaustion. And there's also a backdrop that permeates all three passages, a backdrop of sadness, of exile, of oppression, of sickness and disease, and emotional torment. Isaiah is speaking to a people who are in exile. The psalmist, also speaking to the people in exile, recalls the fall of Jerusalem. And Jesus is working among those in most need, to a people oppressed under a foreign rule. The very nature of hardship prompts the need for faith in God, for praying. And there's deep promise and hope in the passages that comes from remembering that God is in control. God sits above and the circle of the earth. God works through us, giving us more power than we can ask or imagine. So after Jesus restores Simon's mother-in-law to health, she immediately begins to serve. So it's important to remember this scene not in the context of the hashtag time's up, but to look at it in the time. To consider that she's restored through her healing to the community in which she lives. She's restored to wholeness. Being sick and outcast or widowed would have meant being excluded from community. But the mother-in-law's restoration is so much more than just being restored to the duty and the place that she had come from. She's not just serving her guest, which was an honorable thing to do. She's serving Jesus out of praise and thanksgiving. And she's partaking in the commission that St. Paul talks about, that we all have in Christ, to serve each other in fullness and in love. My mother was right. I can see now that the afterlife is not the tiring part. The tiring part is losing ourselves in busyness. And by being so busy, by separating us from God and others. Our tiredness comes when we forget that all we do out of praise and thanksgiving, out of love and compassion, and not out of duty and obligation. Our tiredness comes when we don't take up time for silence, time to pray and hope and wait. Time to open our ears so that we may hear God, our eyes so that we may see God in each other and in ourselves, and our hands so that we may touch God. When we wait, hope, and pray, when we stop and remove ourselves from the crowdedness of society, we create a space within us to let God in, so that God can give us the energy and power to fly like eagles, doing the work that Jesus came out to do out of pure love. Amen.